The Lord be with you.
And your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, that when it is sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. The novel David Copperfield opens with this line: "Whether I shall turn out to be the hero of my own life, or whether that station will be held by anyone else, these pages must show." And brothers and sisters, in the story of our own lives, many of us hope to be the heroes. All of us want to be an active participant in the stories of our own lives, if not the active participant. And we live in a modern world where so much is at our disposal to make this possible. Technology, convenience, medicine, so much enables us to feel like we are the heroes of our own lives, in power, in charge of our own destiny. But because our world is so convenient and gives so much to us in this way, it sometimes happens that something major and out of our control occurs that shakes us to the foundation, and we realize we're not God, or we're not fully in control. That could be an illness that we suffer, something in the life of a family member. We lose a job, something happens to our children, and it shakes us. Oftentimes, though, it can be things that are very mundane, a slight convenience that's suddenly inconvenient, something that should be easy, but it's not. But because we become so accustomed to everything being possible and everything at the touch of our fingers, it becomes annoying. It reminds us of our dependence, that we actually are indeed still human. And one of the areas we experience this is in our spiritual lives. It often takes time. It often seems like we're stuck. It often seems like we're not seeing a lot of growth. And it's one area in our life where we can't just say, "I will be holy," and we become holy. It takes time. And that's a mercy of God. Because, brothers and sisters, ultimately, God is the hero of our lives. And if God wanted to, he could simply, at the snap of a finger, make you holy. But he loves you too much to do that to you. Instead, it takes time and patience and perseverance. Because it's when things take time that we're tried and we're tested and we're refined and we become resilient and durable and things are built that last and cost us something, which is why they are so valuable to us. And only God can really do that in our lives. But brothers and sisters, God does want you to be a hero in your life story and a hero in the story of those around you. But brothers and sisters, it's what the Saint Augustine said: "God who made you without you will not save you without you." He wants you to participate. God himself plants the seed, a seed that only he can provide and plant, but he wants you to cultivate it, and you to take care of it, and you to prepare the soil, and you to nurture it, and you to wait for its growth, because he loves you enough that he wants you to share in your own work of healing, your own work of salvation, the work of building up the people around you. Because what is a true hero? A true hero is not someone that sweeps in and does everything and leaves you standing on the sidelines cheering. A real hero is someone who enters into the story, and he is heroic, but part of his heroism is that he ennobles and enables the people around him to take part in the mission, to be part of the story, to be part of the saving. And that's what God invites you to do, because God, who made you without you, will not save you without you. And Jesus did not step into your life to take away what belongs to you by right. He came to give you the ability to do it. Brothers and sisters, that's what we're getting at in this weekend's gospel. It does take time, and God is the one who is essential. And we heard that in our opening prayer. In our mortal frailty, we can do nothing. So hear us as we cry to you. But God does want you to respond, because that is what's worthy of your dignity as a human being made in his image and likeness, as his beloved son or daughter. You are not the ultimate hero of your life, but you are called to be a hero in your life, in the lives of those around you. So brothers and sisters, twofold invitation this weekend in the homily and in the gospel. The first would be, take time and really ponder, where have you been in your spiritual life, and where are you now, and what has happened in between, and what does that teach you about where you desire to go with the Lord in the next year or the next couple years? We are very good at this in our human lives. Many of us have the experience of a year-end review at work. Many of us have the experience of thinking about, in my professional career, where have I been the last 3 to 5 years? What skills have I developed? How have I made myself more marketable? How have I increased the value that I contribute to my place of employment? And where do I hope to go in my career? What's the raise I look for? The promotion I want? My contribution. We are very good in our professional lives at examining, where have I been? Where am I now? What happened in between? And where do I want to go? Students, think about this. I'm a junior or a senior. Where did I start out as a freshman? Where am I now? What has happened to me in between? And how does that influence where I want to go to college, or where I want to go to trade school, or what I want to do with my life? High school students are good at thinking about that in their ordinary life. Athletes are good about thinking, what happened last season? Where did we grow as a team? How did I contribute? And where are we going next season? We are very good about thinking about it in terms of our family. What has our family been through? What have been our joys the last couple years? What have been some trials we faced? In the last 3 summers, where have we gone on vacation? And what happened in the life of our family through those vacations? And how do we keep growing together? Humanly, we are very good at thinking about, where have I been? Where am I now? What happened in between, and where are we going? Do we do as much with our spiritual lives? That'd be the invitation this summer. Slow down and think about, with some real honesty, where was I in my faith life 1 year ago, 3 years ago, what did it look like? Where am I at now? What's happened in between? Has there been much growth, or has there not? Where did God show up, and I saw him show up, and I said yes, and something happened in my life, the life of my family, or someone that God put in my way because I said yes? What was God offering me that I said no to, or I was not prepared to receive? And how do I learn from that? What do I need to uproot from my life? Or maybe God was with me at a difficult time and I didn't see him then, but he's not done with me because he loves me and still wants to offer me something, even though at the moment I wasn't ready. In the past 3 years, where have you been? Where are you now? Have you made progress? Are you standing still? Have you gone backwards? And where do you hope to go with God in the next year? He's in the driver's seat, but it's okay for you to have some hopes, some vision, some desire. Brothers and sisters, where have you been with the Lord? Where are you now? What have you learned? And where are you going? Because God, who made you without you, will not save you without you. And those of you that are in love or have been in love, you know something about this. Your experience with your beloved is not just one big yes on your wedding day. It's a lot of little yeses that got you to a big yes, that then has been lived out in more little yeses. and sometimes some very big ones. It is the same with your life with God. Brothers and sisters, first invitation is to reflect upon your life. The second thing would be, no matter where you're at now, that's not a bad place to be. God will meet you where you're at, but he will not leave you where he found you. And he wants you to cooperate. So what are some things that you can begin to do to prepare the ground, to tend the seed, to weed the field? What are you doing? Has it improved? Have you looked into the Hallow app, which has so many different things on it? Have you tried watching The Chosen? Have you gone to the Adoration Chapel a little bit more? Do you come to Mass any earlier now than you did 3 years ago? If 3 years ago you didn't read the scriptures before the Mass, are you doing any different now? Or will you in the coming months? Father Hahn and I in the bulletin this weekend each recommend 10 spiritual books. And you don't have to read all 20 of them this summer to be holy, but could you pick one or one from each list? There are so many things out there for you to do, not to make yourself holy because you can't, but to prepare your heart for God, because God who made you without you will not save you without you. But it will require some stillness, some slowness, some quiet, the ability to examine your own life. Because we might fall in love on accident and unexpectedly, but you don't grow and stay in love by accident. It takes a lot of work, and it's worth it. It takes a lot of time, and it's worth it. So twofold invitation. Where have I been? Where am I now? What happened in between? And where do I hope to go? And second, concretely, what resources, what changes in your life will you make to help you get there? Because God who made you without you will not save you without you. And he will meet you where you're at, but he will not leave you where he found you.